No, I don't yet.
So Rabbi said we start with the mitzvah of Tashbisu.
I don't think so, no.
And you remember that there's a long sugya on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, going on to Daf Hei Amud Aleph, to try to prove that the mitzvah Tashbisu, Ach B'Yom HaRishon, applies midday on Yudalet. And the Gemara applies, for example, the principle of Ach Chile, to split the day into two, which means that Chatzos HaYom, that's when we have to get rid of our chametz. Last week on Wednesday, I'm going back really prehistoric times, we discussed the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, who says that there's no lav in the Torah enjoining us from chametz on Erev Pesach from Chatzos. It's only an essay of Tashbisu. And here we had a machlokas rishonim. What does Rabbi Shimon derive from Tashbisu? There's one school of thought that goes on to say that you're allowed to eat the chametz on Erev Pesach, according to Rabbi Shimon, and that's a kiyum of Tashbisu. The other, which is more of the prominent middle-of-the-road sheet of the Rishonim, is that according to Rabbi Shimon, Tashbisu requires a kilui, a destruction of the chametz, without achila, and that generates an isra achila, and therefore Rabbi Shimon would agree that although there's no lav that prohibits me from eating chametz on Erev Pesach, but nevertheless I would be enjoined by virtue of Tashbisu, because achila is the opposite of Tashbisu. That was on Wednesday. On Thursday, we raised the following fundamental question. What is the nature of the mitzvah of Tashbisu? Is it what you call a kiyum essay? It's a mitzvah like any other mitzvah? Or is it only an iser essay, or you might call it a lav habamachal essay, which enjoins us from holding on to chametz? And here Reb Chaim Brisker came up with the following analysis. He claims that the two definitions of Tashbisu are the subject, or is the subject, of the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim about whether aim beer chametz al esreifa or hashbasasa b'chol dover. According to Reb Chaim, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, which means that aim beer chametz el esreifa, then there's a kiyum mitzvah in sreifas chametz. And that is dumya, that is similar to the paradigm case of nosar, where the Torah commands you to destroy the nosar. According to the Chachamim, on the other hand, who hold Ashbasasa b'chol davar, Reb Chaim says that the status of Tashbisu is similar to the status in the Mishnah at the end of Tmura of Nikbarim, which means the Torah wants the Bailim to be without chametz. There's no mitzvah saseh to destroy the chametz. There would be no point to going out and buying chametz if I don't have chametz, because the goal of the Torah is to guarantee that I don't have chametz. And if I don't have any chametz, that's just as good. If I have chametz, just make sure that I don't have chametz, which means zorim afar l'ruach and so forth, whatever method you can in getting rid of your chametz.
And is there ever a parallel where it's phrased in the positive and it's only an isra say, not an asay?
Yeah, I think in the case
of,
in the case of v'nisim es nafsho sechem, for example, on Yom Kippur,
v'nisim.
You should know, Sam, don't publicize. The Gemara has a hava mina that you need a positive v'nisim. If you're sitting in the shade, you have to get up and sit in the sun and bake in the sun. You take pins and prick yourself in the. The Gemara doesn't say that, but I'm just being dramatic about it. But the Gemara says no. That v'nisim is only an isra say that prohibits the. Again, it's complicated whether it prohibits the five categories of inuyim are only achil and shasiyah, the others are whatever, maybe they're midivrei kabbalah, maybe they're midivrei sofer, whatever they might be. So we're talking about an iser essay. Okay, then, now, that was as far as that's concerned, and there may be other examples as well, but what I wanted to get to is the following. That Reb Chaim wants to answer up two kashas. So let's. It's very important as we move forward to see what Reb Chaim derives halachically from this definition of the Chachamim Shita, not Reb Yehuda, that Tashbisu means nothing more than the Bailam should be without chametz. Here are the two achievements of Reb Chaim, at least so claims Reb Chaim. The first achievement is to explain the Torah, and that has to do with Efer Chametz HaNisraf. And we have a principle called Nases Mitzvoso. And the Torah claims that whether or not the principle of Nases Mitzvoso and Efer Chametz HaNisraf would apply in the case of Isur Chametz depends upon the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And all of the Mefarshim rise up against the Tur and they object. This is Rabbi Kivega's famous kasha. Even if I hold like the Chachamim, that Ashpasasim b'chol dover, the Chachamim are not usurping the possibility of Sreifa. They're not undermining Sreifa. Sreifa is also one of the various methods of fulfilling the mitzvah of Tashbis. So why shouldn't Nases Mitzvah so apply even according to the Chachamim? That's Rabbi Kivega's kasha on the Tur. So Reb Chaim claims the following: if we go very radical here, and we're willing to suggest that according to the Chachamim, there is no mitzvah saseh of tashbisu to destroy the chametz, the Torah is just saying that the Bailim shouldn't have chametz. In theory, I'm getting in just to dramatize: if the Bailim would jump up to Shamayim and therefore they don't have chametz without destroying the chametz, that would be fine because they don't have chametz. Therefore, the principle of Nases Mitzvoso, which means that the status of the object has changed such that now through the mitzvah the object loses, it sheds its original Iser Hanah, that doesn't apply according to the Chacham, because in no way are you fulfilling a mitzvah vis-a-vis the object. You're not taking the object and changing its status. You're just running away from the object. If you could run away from the object by throwing it into the river and therefore it's inaccessible to you, that's fine. If you find another method of making it inaccessible to you, that's also fine. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Bir Chametz El Sreifa, Rabbi Chaim interprets to mean that the Torah singles out Sreifa as a kiyum vis-a-vis the object of Chametz. I have to take this object of Chametz and I got to burn it. And now we can apply the principle as we derive from Nosar of Nases Mitzvoso, and therefore Efer HaNisraf is Mut. But according to Chachamim, so claims Reb Chaim, since the Iser is that the Bailam should not have possession Chametz or accessibility to Chametz, therefore there's nothing that changed in the object of the Chametz. We can leave the Chametz as it is. Or if you don't have any Chametz, you're not going to burn or destroy any Chametz. You don't have to go out into the store and buy Chametz. And therefore, Reb Chaim says the Torah is absolutely justified in assuming that the Efer Chametz HaNisraf, again, Sam, your point was well taken. I mean, L'chor, it's part of Chadoshes, it's Batol Mechilas Kelev, and so forth and so on. But let's assume that as you're burning it, you're being nene from it, and there's still, you know, the fire is still attached to Chametz. So where is the heter of Nasis Mitzraso? Says the Torah, that's only according to Rabbi Yehuda, has a mitzvah vis-a-vis the Chametz. But according to the Chachamim, there's no mitzvah vis-a-vis the Chametz. In fact, Reb Chaim says there's no mitzvah at all. It's only an Iser essay of not having possession of any Chametz. Now Reb Chaim wants to gain something else. We have a problem because the Rambam tells us that if you buy Chametz or you mechametz Chametz, you get Malkus for that. It becomes a lav sheyesh bo maaser. But the Gemara in Daf Tzadi Hei classifies Chametz as Bal Yerobai Motze as a lav hanitak liyase, that you fix up the lav if you violate it by burning the chametz, by destroying the chametz. So the question is, how could the Rambam say the Yemalkus for violating Bal Yerobai Motze actively, but what about the fact that it's a lav hanitak liyase of tashbisu v'im tomer? Maybe you'll say, well, Reb Chaim, well, maybe the Rambam is passing like Reb Yehuda, that there's a kiyum essay of tashbisu because ein bir chametz el sreifa. No, the Rambam passes like the Chachamim, hashbesasu b'chol dovar, and therefore if hashbesasu b'chol dovar, now I have a violation of the law of Bali Rabbi Matzi. The Torah is menatek the law to an essay, and I fulfill that essay by destroying the chametz in whatever method or means I had at my disposal. Says Reb Chaim, nein, there is no mitzvah essay. When the Gemara Daf Tzadi Hei says that Bali Rabbi Matzi is a law of nitek lesi, that's according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara is explicit there. The Gemara mentions Rabbi Yehuda. But the implication is that according to Chacham, it's not a law of nitek lesi because Bali Rabbi Matzi is not an essay. Now all this Reb Chaim wants to shtup into the Rambam, and that's where Reb Soloveitchik in the Harei Kedem that we began at the end of the shir on Thursday gets all up in arms. He has many proofs from the language of the Rambam that destroying chametz in whatever method that you employ is a kiyum essay. The Rambam calls it mitzvah asei ben haTorah. And now let's just take a look quickly at the Hare Kedem. I gave it out last week. I think there should be an extra copy if anybody doesn't have one on the back table. And here are the Rav's proof as recorded here in Hare Kedem on Daf Chaf Gimel and on Daf Chaf Amud Chaf Dalid, that according to the Rambam there's a mitzvah asei of Tashbisa. Proof number one is the Rambam opens up Perek Beis Mehilchus Chametz Matzah, and he says Mitzvah Asei Min HaTorah LaHashbis Chametz, clearly indicating that there's a mitzvah of Hashbasa. It's not an Iser Esed. And again, although in the case of Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh, we're talking about an Iser of holding on to your Chametz, but when we shift over to Tashbisu, the Rambam says that there's a Mitzvah Asei. And furthermore, we know that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ein Bir Chametz El Esreifa, and although the Rambam paskins like the Chachamim, it would seem that the Chacham would also agree that there's a mitzvah say of destroying Chametz, just that they don't limit it exclusively to Esreifa, they expand it to Ashpasas B'chol Dor, but nevertheless, it's an essay. This led Rav Chaim, of course, to his question about a Lavanitikli essay, which now, according to Rav Soloveitchik, becomes a problem. And that's what he quotes here on the left column towards the end of Chav Gimel, when the Rambam says in Perek Gimel that if you buy Chametz or your Mechametz and Isi, you get Malkus. And the question is, but even if the Rambam resolved the issue of Lav She'ein Bo Maisa, but he hasn't resolved the issue of Lav Anitak Li Esei. And that led Rav Chaim to this radical, far-reaching conclusion that according to the Rambam Shita, there's nothing left in Tashbisu other than an Iser essay. Strip Tashbisu of any element of a kiyum because it's not going to be a Lav HaNitak Li essay. When the Gemara calls it a Lav HaNitak Li essay, it's only according to Rav Yehuda. And the Rav says on the top of page Chav Dalin that this is very, very difficult to maintain Rav Chaim's position. Because number one, the Rambam says mitzvah asei min haTorah lahashbis hachametz. Number two, the Rambam says later on in that same parak, mai hashbasa zu hamura b'Torah, and the Rambam gives you the option of bittul chametz. Bittul chametz, according to the Rambam, is clearly a kiyum of the mitzvah of tashbisu. And here, the Rambam belongs to the camp of Rashi and the Targum Uglis that the reason why the Torah uses the word tashbisu is to indicate that there's something called Hashbasa Belev. And Hashbasa Belev would seem to be a kiyum essay because the Rambam's language is my Hashbasa. How do you fulfill Tashbisu, which he just defined in the previous halacha as a mitzvah say? And the Rambam's answer to that is bittul. But I think the Makom HaPatish sort of
can
the.
Can you just flesh this out, why this is so upsetting in contrast to something.
To Reb Chaim, you mean?
In other words, let's say if the Torah would say destroy it, which is Tashbisu may mean. So his interpretation is still, it's just advice, because really the Torah doesn't want you to have it, and just says, get rid of it so you won't have it. So
why that's Reb Chaim.
Why can't that be with Bittul as well? Well, what's
all no, I'm just saying the following. I'm saying this Halacha Aleph and Halacha Beis. Halacha Aleph, which is the title for the entire right. Perek, right. Is Mitzvah Asei LaHashbis, correct? So that was the first question. Now we go to Halacha Beis. And now in Halacha Beis, the Rambam says, Mayash Basa Zu, which the Torah, as he quoted in the previous Halacha, right, calls a Mitzvah Asei, and the Rambam identifies it as Bittul. What are you going to tell me now? This is a Mitzvah Asei of Bittul, but it's not really a Mitzvah Asei at all. It's only an Iser Asei.
A way to make sure you don't own it.
So why does the Rambam call it a Mitzvah Asei? The Rambam says, Mitzvah Asei Min haTorah LaHashbis Chametz. The Mayash Basa. Again, you want to call two questions or one question, that's up to you.
Fine.
But here's, I think, that this is the Makom HaPatish that Reb Chaim really has to, you know, face the music here. You know, face the firing squad here. Because we have a bracha on Bir Chametz. Why, according to the Rambam, would there be a bracha bir chametz if the Rambam identifies Tashbisu as nothing other than an Isra say? We have many examples of of avoiding a violation of an Isur, and we don't make a bracha on it. The rule of thumb is that you make a bracha only on a Kiyum Es.
It's from the Rabban. We talked about that, right?
Okay, good. Well, let's just flesh it out. First, what we want to do here, and this is very, very sharp, we want to quote the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Brachos. And the Rambam says, you know why you can't make a bracha with a lashon of Lamed, which is called Lahava? Because you've already fulfilled this mitzvah. And why? Because you were mevatel your chametz. Now, wait a second. This is a little bit odd. The Rambam is shifting the nusach of the bracha of bir chametz from a lamed to an al because you've already fulfilled the mitzvah of tashbisu. So you're now not in a over lasiyasa mode, which is called lahava, but rather you're in lishaavar. Well, wait a minute. What is bittel? According to Reb Chaim, bittel should be nothing more than avoiding a violation of a losa. So what impact would that have on the mitzvah haseh on which we're making a bracha? By destroying the chametz. Do you hear the kasha? Let's see it inside. The Rambam's language is Mishah shegomar belibo levatel naseis mitzvah sabir kodem sheyivdok. He's already fulfilled the mitzvah of tashbisu, and therefore the bracha that he's making on the bedika is post kiyuma mitzvah. That's what the Rambam says. Naseis mitzvaso. Now, according to Reb Chaim, there is no nasis mitzvah. So why? Because as far as the mitzvah of tashbisu is concerned, there ain't no such thing as a mitzvah of tashbisu. All there is an isur not to have chametz in your rishus. Now the Rabbanan said, well, although you are mevatel a chametz, we want you to destroy that chametz. And if the Rabbanan are generating a bracha on that, because we do make a bracha on a mitzvah the Rabbanan, then why is the Rambam telling you that we have to shift the nusach ha-bracha because he already is mekayim the mitzvah? What do you mean he was mekayim the mitzvah? He avoided the violation of the losah said by implementing bittel, according to Reb Chaim's definition of the Rambam, but now he's about to embark upon a mitzvah say to check for chametz in order to destroy it. So why does the bracha have to change from lahava l'shaavar? It's not a l'shaavar at all. It's lahava. Let's read the language. He says, "Sarach iyun ma'abakachten is talika iser esh shalash basli de bittel." Who cares? Why should the Rambam be upset about the fact that he avoided violating the iser esh by doing bittel? The bracha is not for the iser of tashbisu, meaning the iser of maintaining your ownership on chametz, because he would never make a bracha on an iser. Ella because takonis chachamim of bedikum biur. Nu, the mitzvah of bedikum he hasn't even embarked upon. He's about to begin his mitzvah bedika, and therefore whatever he fulfilled through bittel is only an avoidance of a losas and Reb Chaim's frame of reference in the Rambam. So why shouldn't he make a bracha lahava with a lashon of al muchach? What we prove from this is that the ikar mitzvah tashbisu he was mechuyevin by virtue of the mitzvah saseh of tashbisu as the Rambam formulates it, and he fulfills that with bittel. So the Rambam wants to say, okay, he fulfilled the mitzvah of bittel. The Rambam, the Rabbanan, excuse me, are going to extend the mitzvah of tashbisu. They're not going to rely on bittel, and now he's going to have to go through stage number two in tashbisu. What's stage number two in tashbisu? Bedika slash biur. Okay, says the Rambam, you want to reflect the fact that you're up to stage number two. Then you have to shift the nusach habracha from a lamed to an al, because you've already fulfilled that mitzvah, at least on a doraisa level. So mevele, you see that the bittel that you start with is a kiyum min haTorah, and it's a kiyum min haTorah that's going to have an impact on the bracha, because again, the bracha is always on the kiyum mitzvah. Okay, we have a kiyum midirei sof from a bedika and biur. We're not going to rely on bittel, but nevertheless, you've already begun the mitzvah of biur, because the Torah recognizes bittel as a kiyum of the mitzvah of tashbisu. Nimtza da bracha al biur chometzi al kiyum mitzvah se esei shel tashbisu midivrei sofrim. And now the Rambam says, well, wait a minute. On a doraisa level, you've already fulfilled that mitzvah of tashbisu. Now the Rabbanu want to go a step beyond, so the Rambam's mechadish that the nusach habracha has to reflect that at least on a doraisa level, you've already, in the past tense, you've already fulfilled the mitzvah of tashbisu. Hence, the nusach habracha is going to be an al, because at least on a doraisa level, when I told you were mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu, that should have an impact on the bracha. And the final point he says is that the Rush also seems to indicate that Tashbisu is a kiruma mitzvah, because the Rush's language is vu mitzvah min haTorah, and that's how the Rush justifies the fact that there's no bracha on bir chametz l'shitasa. Let me just take a look if the first paragraph is relevant to us. The first paragraph in the left column. He says that what? Okay. So, Rabosai, here's where we're holding now. We're in a little bit of a bind. Why? Because we seem to learn from many expressions in the Rambam, many of the Rambam's formulations, that there's a mitzvah saseh of tashbisu. Now, again, that's going to raise eyebrows, because we don't understand why, in the framework of the Rambam as a mitzvah saseh, how could you ever possibly get malchus for Bal Yerovah Yimotzeh in the Rambam, because it's a lavanita kli esei. That was Reb Chaim's kasha. In the name of many achronim, and then the Reb Chaim's kasha, the name of Rabbi Kveger, how could the Torah say that Efer Chometz HaNisraf is Asur Bano? What happened to the principle of Nasis Mitzvaso that applies to a Kiyum Esse? But now we have a third problem. And this third problem is formulated here on the top left on page Chav Dalit. Lenny, were you able to get these photocopies, or do we need an extra copy?
That's right.
We don't have one. Let me just float around. I thought we had an extra copy.
Okay, I'm going to look. I may well have one, but okay. I have too much stuff.
Okay.
I have to do some beer here.
Yeah, beer. Come on. Okay. All right. When you need it.
I believe I had one.
All right. I just want you to see it inside, Lenny.
Yes, I do. Here we are, sir.
Okay, great. Excellent. We have an extra copy.
Okay.
Sam's the man. Okay.
Pack rat.
Okay. Now, this paragraph, which starts with the word achen, is laying the framework, the groundwork, if you will, for what the Rav in this Hari Kedem article is about to present, which in Brisker terminology we call tzvedim, that really Tashbiso hides. What's hidden underneath the surface of the word tashbisu is a twofold mitzvah, what we call an iser and a kiyum. So that's what his goal is, and he's going to start by looking at the Gemara of Ach Chilek on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara starts by saying that although there's a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about the nature of chametz, the status of chametz in the fifth hour, everybody agrees that when we get to the sixth hour, that's called osur. Chametz becomes osur. And the Gemara is going to derive that iser at the end of the sixth hour, which is midday, from the pasuk ach by Yom HaRishon Tashbisu. Ach chilek. Now wait a second. This is very problematic, because on the one hand, the Rambam classifies Tashbisu as a mitzvah saseh. And according to the Rambam, the mitzvah say is bittul, because bittul, according to the Rambam, is the taich of the word tashbisu. And that we saw in the Rambam, Perek Beis Halacha Beis. So now we're in a bind, because the Gemara establishes that the latest time for bittul is Bishas Isuro, which means that there's no way that you could be makayim the mitzvah of bittul as a kiyum of tashbisu after Shas Isur. But the Gemara is going to derive that tashbisu means midday, which means achilek. Now at that moment in time, chametz is already out of your rishus. The Torah forbid. How are you going to possibly fulfill a mitzvah sas? You see, if the Rambam's understanding of tashbisu would be identified with a kiyum esse and only with a kiyum esse. If you reduce tashbisu to a kiyum esse and there's no element of isur, then we're in deep, deep trouble here. Why? There's no way out over here. We're in an irreconcilable position between two polar extremes. One polar extreme says that bittul could not be possible after Shas Isura. The other polar extreme says that the mitzvah of Tashbisu, if we assume it's a mitzvah say, is chal at chatzos. Ach chilek. Ach b'yom arish Tashbisu means destroy your chametz in the middle of the day. At that moment, chametz is already awesome. No, if chametz is already awesome, then bittul is not a possibility. Then Tashbisu, as a Kiyum essay, is a null set. What do I mean? According to Reb Chaim's understanding of the Rambam, that Tashbisu is an Isur. Okay, Achilik makes sense. Then at what point does the Torah say, get rid of all your chametz, you're not allowed to be in any possession of chametz? Echatzos hayom, and everything is wonderful. Get rid of your chametz in one form or another before Echatzos hayom, and that's wonderful. That's not a Kiyum essay. That's just a way of avoiding the violation of an Isur essay. And that you're going to take care of whenever you take care of it, as long as by the time the bell rings at Chatzos Hayom and the Isur Chametz, the inception, you don't have any Chametz in your possession, that's Tashbisu. That's Tashbisu as an Isur Aseh. But if you follow in the footsteps of Rav Soloveitchik's Diyukim in the Rambam, that the Rambam classifies Tashbisu as a Kiyum Aseh, how can that Kiyum Aseh coincide with Achilek when at that point the Chametz is already out of your Rishus? And therefore, there's no way you can be mevatel your chametz. So there are three premises here that lead you to naught. Premise number one is that Tashbisu is mitzaseh. Premise number two, that mitzaseh is fulfilled according to Rambam with bittul. And premise number three is that there's no possibility of bittul after Shas Isura. How then could the Gemara apply the principle of achilik that the mitzvah Tashbisu is midday? And this is beginning to take us towards the framework that we're about to embark upon today, that there are really two dimensions to the mitzvah of Tashbisu, that it's both an Isur Aseh and a Kiyum Aseh at the same time. And that Enochinami, the Kiyum Aseh, is going to have to be fulfilled. Again, we're identifying that with Bittul, according to Rambam, sometime before Chatzos Hayom, and the Achilek is as far as the dimension of the Isur Aseh. And we end up with a two-dimensional mitzvah. Now I know that we're intuitively fighting against this. I can read it on your forehead. It's written all over your forehead. How can it be? You know, decide. You want to call it a Kiyum essay, you want to call it an Isur essay, but don't call it both.
But you still gonna have a problem with love and mythical essay, right?
Correct. Correct. We haven't solved all of Reb Chaim's questions yet. Well, what we're right now and it's going to be beautifully resolved as we go through this piece, beautifully. But right now, we're trying to solve the problem of achilek. How do we understand achilek as, in the Rambam's favorite reference, that the mitzvah of Tashbisu requires bittul when it's after Shas Isur? Ube Emes, we're next to the next paragraph, he says that we find such a kasha that we're asking now according to the Rambam, meaning if we're identifying in the Rambam's favorite reference Tashbisu as bittul, how can there possibly be bittul after Shas Isura? This question, this objection was raised by Tos against Rashi because Rashi on Daf Dalet Amud Beis identifies Tashbisu as bittul. And he quotes Unkelus as his support text, that Tashbisu doesn't mean to destroy the chametz. Tashbisu means hashbasa shebelev, which is bittul. So now we have not just the Rambam who identifies Tashbisu as bittul, we also have Rashi who identifies Tashbisu as bittul. And the source of bittul is in the word Tashbisu, right? Rashi says, veloksiv tevaru. And Ashbasa Shebelev, he Ashbasa, that's the Lashon of Rashi on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, and then he quotes Unkelus. So Tosus got Kashalari, Tosus raises all the dust in the earth here. How can you possibly say that Tashbisu is Bittul when Tashbisu is at the moment of Achilek, the Gemara establishes, which is after Sheishos, and that's after Chametz is Asur? There's no such thing as Bittul after Chametz becomes Asur. So again, I don't know if this is a mitzas tanchumen, you know, misery loves company, as we say. So we have now company here. We have not only the question we asked on the Rambam, we have the objection of Tosis against Rashi in the same vein. Again, Tosis doesn't mean to say that Rashi identifies Tashbisu as a Kiyum essay. That's not necessarily so. I mean, that we're trying to say in the Rambam. In Rashi, it could very well be that Tashbisu is an Isur Aseh, but nevertheless, The Torah is telling me by what method do you implement the avoidance and the circumvent the Isra Seh through Bittel, says Rashi, and that's at Achilek. How could that be? There's no such possibility as Bittel after Shasi Suro. Now he quotes the Ramban. Do you remember Rabosai? For those of you who were with me back in the day, we spent a lot of time on this Ramban, probably about 2 weeks. But there's one punchline in the Ramban that's relevant to our discussion today. And the Ramban says the following: Masha Hikshu Rabbi Senu Atzorfatim Zal. This was the objection of the Bali Atosis against Rashi. How could it be that Tashbisu means Bittel when Achilek means that Tashbisu applies after Chatzos Hayom? Eino Kusha, says the Ramban. What does the Torah mean by getting rid of your Chametz? Says the Ramban, it means Shiyehei Mevuar o Mevutal B'Chatzos. That's what the Torah is telling you. In other words, that the destruction of your chametz, whenever it takes place, should be completed by chatzos. You follow? Yeah. That the process of destroying your chametz should be implemented before chatzos, such that when we synchronize our clocks with chatzos, we've already gotten to the point in which the chametz is mevuar, and we've already done all the tashbisu that we need. And Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, in his footnotes on the Ramban, is not happy with this Ramban. He says, what are we going to do with Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva says, I'll prove to you that Chametz is Asur on the 14th of Nisan, and not Kipshuto Shel Mikra on the 15th, which is called the Yom HaRishon. How do I know they have to jack up Yom HaRishon all the way back to Yudalid? Because Avora is a Malach on Yontif. How can the Torah say that I burn? Because again, Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Yehuda that ain't Bir Chavetz El Sreifa, and Sreifa is an Av Malach. How could I possibly assume Kipshuto Shel Mikra that Yom HaRishon means on the 15th of Nisan, the first day of Yontif? It's impossible. That's an untenable possibility because of the Iser Havara. Frech Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, I don't get it. According to the Ramban, this is not a kash at all. The whole proof of Tosfos from Rabbi Akiva completely falls apart. And it's the logic of Rabbi Akiva completely falls apart. Because the Ramban's opinion is Shiyehei Mevuar B'Chatzos. If that be the case, then on Erev Pesach, what would Rabbi Akiva say about the following scenario? On Erev Pesach, I'm going to destroy my Chametz. But the Mitzvah of Tashbisu, or the Isra Seh of Tashbisu, however you'll classify it, is on Chatzos of Yom Rishon. In other words, let's play the devil's advocate. Li'olam, I'm going to take the Pasuk Kipshuto. And when it says Ach B'Yom HaRishon, it means on the 15th of Nisan. You'll ask me a kasha, Rabbi Akiva's kasha, what about Sreifa? There's no such thing as Birur on Yontif itself. The answer is, the Torah's not telling you to be Mavired on Yontif. The Torah's telling you to be Mavired whenever the clock appeals to you, whenever time you want. As long as it's Mavur by Chatzos. And in this case, Chatzos means on Tesvav, not on Yudalid. Does everybody hear the kasha of Mrs. Zalman? One more time. The Cheshbon here, it's a beautiful calculation. He says, according to Ramban's opinion, that when the Torah says Achilek, it means Shei Mevuar B'Chatzos, that it's already destroyed by Chatzos, then Rabbi Akiva's logic completely falls off the planet. Because I'm going to argue against Rabbi Akiva, and I'm going to tell Rabbi Akiva that the Yom HaRishon means literally on the 15th. What about Biur? It's Sreifa. There's no Sreifa on Yontif. The answer is the Sreifa will take place on Erev Yontif. V'yehi mevuar b'chatzos of Yontif. So now at this point, Rav Soloveitchik is going to try to answer this kasha. And at the same time, I mean, much more important than this kasha of Rabbi Zalman is to justify how Tashbisu could possibly be a mitzvah asay, a kiyum asay, and at the same time, achilek means that kiyum asay through bittel is at chatzos. How can it be at chatzos when it's already yotze v'rshuso and there's no possibility of bittel? Now that's what we're up to over here. Now this is going to be something very
can I ask
brilliant, something very amazing. Yeah.
According to the Kiddush Haaretz, right? You're supposed to burn the chametz on Pesach.
Right.
And you're not allowed to have chametz on Pesach, right? The Bal Yeroah, I assume, starts on Erev Pesach at the night or something. So what are you burning?
Well, let me see if I can formulate your question. Your question is, forget about Rabbi Kiva's aim beer chametz el sreif and avar is a lav on yontif. Leave that all out. Why don't you say that it's an absurd possibility to say that achili tashpisu means the 15th, because you violated by your avay matzah. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be abaye, and I'm just wondering how does Rabbi Kiva counter against abaye? If you want to just open up to abaye and see on daf dalet of the days what abaye has to say.
I'm sorry, I mean there's something I should have
right about Joe. So I think, let me just think, what's the counter argument of abaye? Again, I have to go through the sugya piece by piece. Just 1 second. If I have it quick, then we'll have it quick. Otherwise, it's going to just derail us because we're hot for this.
Sorry, I just realized.
Just 1 second. By Yerub, by Yimotze, according to Rabbi Akiva's Havamina. Right? So it says, Shivas Yomim, Siorli Yimotze Bivatechem. Oh, so then he's saying Yomim, then maybe it means Yomim Velo Lelos. Right? Does it say Yomim Velo Lelos there?
You're on Dalet Amud Bet.
Yeah, at the bottom, of. I think it's Abaye there, am I correct?
There's no name.
Yes,
says Abaye, I don't see a name.
All right. It doesn't matter where it's Abaye.
Yes.
I want to give credit to Abaye, but
yes,
if it's not Abaye.
I'm sorry, yeah. It's my eyes.
So, right, it says Shivas Yamin. So, how could you possibly say that you get rid of your chametz on Tezvav? The Torah says you're not allowed to have. This is your question, Sam. Right. So, then the Gemara quotes Yamin Velo Lelos, does it not?
Yamin Velo Lelos.
Right. So, again, Rabbo say, okay. You know, I don't mind.
No,
I'm just trying to sort my,
let go.
You know, sort myself out here. What I should
back.
Do first?
Yes.
Just
this,
afraid
this is playing back up.
If we get fakrochen with that of yomim velo lelos, I'm afraid it'll be yomim velo lelos. If you know what I mean.
Okay.
So let's assume that somehow we solve the problem of abaye according to Rabbi Akiva. Correct, because Rabbi Akiva is midway through Hayom and Aleph, and he's not bothered by abaye's kasha. Because maybe he assumes that Bal Yeroah Bayimotzei is triggered off by Tashbisu. I don't know all the nitty gritty details right now. Okay. He says the following. We're going to split between the subject of the sugya on Daf Dalet Amud Beis Daf Hei Amud Aleph, which is Chametz Mishei Shel Salamala Asur, and the question of Kiyum Tashbisu. We'll get back to the Kiyum of Tashbisu in just a minute. And again, the Rav insists that according to the Rambam, there's definitely a Kiyum of Tashbisu. But let's now focus our attention on the Iser Aseh of Tashbisu. That's the subject of the Gemara on Daf Dalet Amud Beis called Ach Chilek. The Gemara is not asking the question regarding the Chalos Mitzvah of Tashbisu. We'll get back to that as a separate topic. And let's assume that the time for the Mitzvah of Tashbisu as a Kiyum essay is in the morning of Yadalet, and for some reason, which was unbeknown to us right now, that was at Milsa de Pshita. The Gemara understood for sure that if you want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Tashbisu as a Kiyum essay, that's going to have to take place in the morning of the 14th. The subject of the Gemara is that since both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda agree that the Isur Chametz emerges with the end of the sixth hour, how do we know that? And at this point we're analyzing Tashbisu as the source for the Iser Chametz. Again, we're not talking about the Mitzvah Aseh of Tashbisu, but we're saying that Tashbisu generates an Iser Aseh of having Chametz in your possession. Again, Samuel asked me, don't I know that already from Bal Yeroah Bayimotzei? But it seems that Bal Yeroah Bayimotzei itself is vague. We're not sure, and that's going to be determined by Tashbisu. Oh, here's where the Gemara introduces Achilek. And what Achilek tells me is that the Iser Chametz begins, it commences with midday on the 14th. As far as the essay of Tashbisu is concerned, Milvada essay, again the essay of Tashbisu, which requires that you destroy your chametz in the morning of the 14th as an essay, but Tashbisu also generates an Iser essay. And the reason for that, and again, the Gemara wants to know at what point in time is that Iser essay engendered, right? So again, Rav Osi, do you understand where we're going here? We're splitting between the essay as a kiyum of Tashbisu, which is definitely in the morning, before the Shas Iser, because again, the Rambam identifies Tashbisu like Rashi with Bittul, that has to take place before the Iser essay. And the Iser essay itself, which is going to be Chal midday. So for example, if we take Rabbi Akiva's position, then what Rabbi Akiva is asking is that how can you allow for the Sreif of Chomes on the morning of Yudalit, assuming that the Kiyum Tashbisu has to be the Yom HaRishon? If we take Yom HaRishon literally, that means it's got to be on Tesvav, and the Torah prohibits Sreifas Chomets on Tesvav. Okay, so whether or not the essay starts in the afternoon of Tesvav, if we take the Pasuk literally, right, or it starts on the morning of Tesvav, that's irrelevant, because in both cases the Kiyum essay requires Tashbisu Sreifa, according to Rabbi Akiva, and Sreifa is enjoined on Yontif. Ikar ha'esei shel Tashbisu eina mitzasei kechol mitzasei the Alma. The Rav asks for an intuitive answer to the following question. And Sam, you asked this question last week and I gave you the wrong answer, according to what we see here. What if I don't have any chametz? Is that what Tashbisu means? Go get yourself chametz? Buy chametz in order to fulfill the mitzasei of Tashbisu? From Rav Salvation's perspective, that's ludicrous. That's an untenable position. It's not like lulav, where the Torah says, if you don't have a lulav, go out and buy a lulav. If you don't have matzah, go out and buy matzah. No. That's what Tashbisu means. Tashbisu doesn't mean make sure that you have chametz in order to destroy it. If you have chametz in your rishus, then the Torah wants you to destroy it. And therefore, he says that if you talk about the Iker essay of Tashbisu, it's not a Chovas Gavra, a Kakafta the Gavra, like every other mitzvah. You have to go ahead and find yourself chametz to burn it. You know, the burning itself is not a mitzvah. Umuchach the Iker a mitzvah shel Tashbisu kadesh lo yeh chametz pershuso. So Enochinami, there may be an essay of Tashbisu, but it's not your classic essay. Your classic essay calls it a chova da kakafta de gavra, which means go out and buy yourself chametz. That's ridiculous. But the real mitzvah of Tashbisu is destroy your chametz so that you don't have chametz in your rishus. So therefore, if you have chametz in your rishus, that's the precondition to generate the mitzvah saseh. If you don't have chametz in your shus, then the Torah is not telling you to get yourself chametz just for the sake of destroying chametz. The destruction of chametz is obligatory because you're in possession of chametz, and the Torah doesn't tolerate your possession of the chametz. Now you have possession of a chametz, you happen to own chametz, you don't have to go out and buy it. Go ahead and destroy the chametz.
Does that have to
follow? But give me just 5 minutes, I'll tell you why, Sam, because I'm telling you there's a brilliant structure here, but unless you see the whole picture, he says, "Lachen nichlal b'mitzvah milvad gufa esei gam iser esei shlo yikayim chametz." Meaning, what underlies this mitzvah of destroying chametz? Again, we're going to identify Tashbisu as a destruction of the chametz, whether it's physical, whether it's out through bittul, but it's a destruction of the chametz. But why? Why is the Torah telling me to destroy chametz? Because the Torah sees that it is an end unto itself to destroy chametz, and if you don't have chametz, go out and buy chametz. Nein. It means that what underlies the essay is the Iser essay. The Torah doesn't want you to have chametz in your possession, and hence, in event that you do have chametz in your possession, go ahead and destroy that chametz. Oh. Says Rav Salvechik, if that's how we understand Tashbisu, we can begin to split up two time periods: the morning and Chatzos. Cholak hu zman kiyum ha'ese mizman iser ha'ese. The Torah is telling you with a mitzvah say, as we saw in the Rambam over and over again, to destroy your chametz, whether it's physical or through bittul. However, what underlies that? Why is it that the Torah wants you to destroy the chametz? You have two different ways of understanding that. One way of understanding, which the Rav apostles, he disqualifies al asaf, is to say, well, go ahead and destroy chametz. You have chametz, destroy. You don't have chametz, go ahead and get yourself a bottle of whiskey in order to destroy it. The other way is to say it, no. That what the Torah means to say is that the Torah is not tolerating your possession over chametz, and therefore destroy your chametz. The nafkamina is going to be that now you don't have to go out and buy chametz in order to destroy it. The Torah is just telling you that it's an intolerable situation. Destroy your chametz because you have the chametz. And now Rav Soloveitchik wants to say the following: Eino chinami. It's crystal clear that the destruction, the process of destruction of your chametz, whether again it's physical or through bittul, as a mitzvah say, that has to be fulfilled in the morning of your dalit. Ubizman, he says, kiyum ha'esei efsha shiyeh iser l'kayim chametz. Okay, this is the main line. If you can underline that, I don't know. In your photocopy, is it underlined?
We don't have that page.
What? Oh, you don't have Chaf Hei? Oh, no.
We had Chaf Gimel and Daled.
Oh, no. Eschatoi ani maskil.
If you can say it over again.
Oh, boy, boy, boy. Right. So what do we do now? I'm in a tough bind here. Okay. So you know what? I'm just going to first read to you that line, and then maybe we'll take a break, so that I'd like you to see it inside. It's a beautiful shtickle dar. Again, I don't want to lose the hemshech here. I'm so hot here. You know, I'm so excited about this that I'll just read you one line, because I think the whole shtickle Torah either falls or stands on this one line. Okay, he says the following. Again, keep in mind, the Rav's goal now is to set up two time periods. One time period for the mitzvah say of Tashbisu, and another time period for the Iser essay of owning chametz, of having possession of your chametz. That's his goal. And how do you know what compels you to assume that there are two time periods? That the mitzvah say of Tashbisu has to come before the time for the Iser essay of Tashbisu, which is, again, you know, in a sense, it's very counterintuitive that you can take one mitzvah, split it into two, and to the point to which you set up two different zmanim. So you're setting up Tashbisu on the one end as a mitzvah say, but you're insisting that has to be in the morning of your dalit, and then you're telling me, well, Tashbisu is an Iser essay that prohibits you from possessing chametz, and you're telling me, achilek, that's in the afternoon, mi'chatzos v'elech. Isn't that counterintuitive? Oh, he says the following. So this is what you want to write down. Dibizman kiyum ha'esei i'efsha shiyeh iser l'kayim chametz. The Torah would be involved in a logical contradiction if it would maintain that the time for the essay is the time when you're not allowed to possess the chametz. Because if you're not allowed to possess the chametz, as Sam said over and over again, how can the Torah tell me to destroy the chametz? When the Torah tells me I'm not allowed to possess the chametz, then you tell me to destroy the chametz, it would mean that I violated the Iser essay.
In order to be Mekayim,
yeah, I mean, what would the Torah say? Violate an Iser and then be Mekayim the Mitzvah. I mean, that's crazy. That's an untenable position. If you're telling me that the Zman for the Kiyum essay is going to be after the Zman of the Iser essay, is Hech Yikayim Es HaMitzvah. Tell me, Ribbono Shalom, how am I going to fulfill this mitzvah of destroying my chametz when you told me I'm not allowed to have chametz in my possession? Valkein, therefore, based on this logical contradiction, Sfir Leila Rambam, the Zman Kiyum HaEssay Hu Kodem Chatzos, Uzman Iser HaEssay Hu Li'achar Chatzos, and Vizemavur B'Sugya Shom Me'ach Chilek, the whole subject of the Sugya is when does chametz become awesome? When am I now allowed to possess chametz? And the Gemara comes up with the answer of Achilek, that the Zman Iser essay is Li'achar Chatzos. Now, Rabosei, if you think that the Rav is inventing this in the Rambam, which very often we see Brisket Torah, we say, all right, Vushtate in the Rambam, so let's go back and read the Rambam. Now the Rambam becomes crystal clear. Says the Rambam, Mitzvahs Aseh, this is Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, Minat Torah, That you'll see back on page Chav Gimel, which you do have, right? The first paragraph. Mitzvah Saseh Min HaTorah LaHashpis HaChometz. Again, the Rav reads that as a Kiyum essay. Kodem Zman Yisra Achiloso. The Rambam goes out of his way to tell you Kodem Zman Yisra Achiloso. Now again, when he says achiloso, he means not only achila, but also possession of the chametz. Again, we have to get back to this Ram, why he mentions achila. That has to do with the pasuk of lo sochal chametz. But be that as it may, the Ram has created a phrase. Let's just focus on three words for the time being. Kodem zman isur. And Rav Soloveitchik interprets this as the Rambam's solution to a contradiction, a conflict between A and B. A means that there's a mitzvah saseh lahashbis. B means that that mitzvah saseh is chal with chatzos. And that's called mipi hashmu, and the Rambam in the next halacha derives it from achile. And yet, you are commanded with a mitzvah saseh to destroy chametz from the moment in which you are already ushered to have chametz in your possession? V'kedazayin. And the answer to the Rambam is that the mitzvah saseh min haTorah to be mashpis chametz as a kiyum essay is kodim zman isuro. That's how the Rambam solves this problem. And he's going to tell you that the mitzvah saseh is before the zman isur. That's what we call boker, shachris, meaning the morning of Yudalid. And the isur saseh is going to be after chatzos. This is going to answer number one, the kasha of Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. Number two, it's going to justify the entire sugya of Rabbi Akiva of Ein Bir Chametz illustration. But for that, maybe I feel badly if you don't have the text in front of you. And I like to teach it from a text. So you don't mind.
2 minutes,
no. Okay. So look, today we're not going to get to Chavav, but once you're doing it, you know, if you don't mind making the extra effort, so I don't have to bother you tomorrow, and that's going to be on page Chavav. So let's begin to do this balpeh and see if we can already anticipate. Again, for me, it's cheating a little bit because I already read the next paragraph, but I've long forgotten it, I promise you. I can't tell you what I saw there. But let's assume that given the logic that we presented until now, we can begin to answer Rav Issa Zalman's question. And if we can't, we can't. But at least we didn't be mevatel the Torah, you know, that while Sam is going to photocopy the pages. Oh, what was Rav Issa Zalman's question? Why not, as a counter-argument to Rabbi Akiva's compelling argument, the counter-argument, why not say that according to the Ramban, that the mitzvah is shehei mevuar ad chatzos, that by chatzos would be mevuar, why not implement a Sreifas Chametz, according to Rabbi Akiva, on Erev Pesach, on Yudalid, when Sreifa is Mutter, there's no Isur Malacha, and the mitzvah will be Ach Be'yom HaRishon, literally, Kipshuto, on Tesvav, and it's going to be Mavur by Chatzos on Tesvav. That was Rabbi Zalman's question. And the answer is the following. That now that we've established that according to the Rambam, and maybe we could push this into Rabbi Kiva as well, there are two dimensions to Tashbisu. One is a mitzvah saseh to destroy the chametz that's in your possession. Number two is that you should not have like the Isur essay of having possession over the chametz. Now we have to ask ourselves, what's the relationship between these two dimensions? Can I destroy the chametz at any time? Let's say on Tu B'Shvat, on Rosh Chodesh Adar, right? Adar Beis, in this case, this at the end of the week. I'm going to destroy my chametz. And that's going to be a kiyum essay of Tashbisu? The Torah says, Ach B'Yom HaRishon Tashbisu. Says Rabbi Akiva, if Ach B'Yom HaRishon Tashbisu means two things. Number one, you're going to have a kiyum essay, which is going to have to take place in the morning, and the Isur essay with chatzos in the afternoon, if that's what you're going to do, you're going to have a violation of the Isur Havara of Sreifas Chometz. So what are you going to tell me, Rabbi Zalman is yelling and screaming, well, let the Sreifas Chometz be on Erev Pesach? Well, that's not Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu. Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu means two things. Number one, destroy the chametz. And number two, don't be makayim the chametz in your rishus. Right? The essay and the Isur part. Now, if we take these two parts, we can divide them up into the two parts of the day of Bayom HaRishon. If Bayom HaRishon means Tesvav, I can now take Tesvav, split it into two, and I can fulfill both elements of Tashbisu on Yom HaRishon, meaning on Tesvav. I can take the morning of Tesvav for the Bir Chametz. I can take the afternoon, meaning from Chatzosan on, for the Iser Essay of possessing Chametz, and that was the only way we would reconcile the Stira between the Kiyum Essay and the Iser Essay. But then I'm going to have to destroy the Chametz with Sreifa, because Rabbi Kiva holds Ein Bir Chametz Ela Sreifa. Rabbi Kiva holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, there's no other method that the Torah recognizes for the Kiyum Mitzvah of Tashbisu. Not with Hashbasasim Chol Dover, and certainly not with Bittul. So you're stuck with one option, and that's Sreifa. Says Rabbi Kiva, can't be Yom Tesvav. It can't be Yom HaRishon literally, because there's no such thing as Sreifa on Yontif itself. Is when Bela comes out that according to this answer of to Rabbi Zalman's objection, it would make absolutely no sense to talk about a sreifa on Yudalit, because the Torah says Yom HaRishon, and we take Yom HaRishon and splitting it into two. Wait, just tell me what page it is, so I'll be able to.
Okay. I put the big papers in there.
The big papers.
Stash of papers, that's right.
Okay, great. Great. So I'm going to just turn it back one page. And Sam, is there any extras for the archives? Either you hold on to it or we'll put up here.
Of course.
Great, great. Just that, you know, you never know when we might need it.
We know all about archives.
Okay, then. So where are we, Rabosu? We're on Chaf Hei, and we're up to Vinira. And what we're trying to do now is to answer up Rabbi Zalman Meltzer's question. He says the following. This is what the Ramban has in mind. Ein kavanosa shekiyum tashbisu michatzos b'shevi al taseh. The way Rabbi Zalman Meltzer understood the Ramban is telling me that I fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu simply by not having chametz. And at what moment in time do I fulfill that mitzvah? And chatzos, based on ach chilek. So I have a mitzvah which is called tashbisu, it's called an essay, and how do I fulfill it? Shehei mavur bechatzos, because it's already destroyed at chatzos. So when is the moment of the kiyum mitzvah? At chatzos. Rav Salvechi says that's impossible. Hadomer pashut. Diyesh maisa mitzvah tashbisu. Again, keep in mind, Rabbi Akiva is the same as Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda requires a maisa tashbisu. What's the maisa, the active element of tashbisu? Is Ein Bir Chametz Ela Sreifa. The Chachamim also require an active kiyum mitzvah of tashbisu, but b'chol dover, they expand your options. So how could it be that the Ramban, the way Rabbi Zalman Meltzer understood the Ramban, accused the Ramban, is saying that when it comes to chatzos, boom, at that moment, the clock strikes 12, and I am Mekayim the Mitzvah, I get brownie points for the Mitzvah Tashbisu. How can it be? The Mitzvah Tashbisu is an active Mitzvah. Could the Rabban be saying that B'Shevi Altaseh Ad Chatzos, I fulfill the Mitzvah? Elan Nein, that's not what the Rabban means. Habirhu Dechol Yom Yudalid. And again, according to Rabbi Kiva, this is going to be Yom Tesvav. Gam Kodim Isman Yisur Avizman L'maisa Mitzvah. That's the active Mitzvah of Tashbisu. Again, if you own chametz, and when the Torah says Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu, it means that the entire Yom HaRishon is dedicated to the mitzvah of Tashbisu. But now we have to sort it all out. We have to split the mitzvah of Tashbisu into its two component elements. We have the mitzvah of kumvase, of destroying chametz as a kiyum, and then we have the iser of owning chametz as an iser aseh. Here's where the Ramban comes to the fore. And the Ramban is saying that the active kumvaseh kiyum of tashbisu is going to be in the morning before shasi suro. And now, when it comes to shasi suro, it's mushbas. The Ramban doesn't mean that that's the moment of kiyum amitz, because that would be b'shevi al taseh, but rather that's the moment of the iser of kiyum chametz and tashbisu as an iser esse. So the kiyum amitz is going to be before that moment of chatzos, and that's when I fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu. And how do we know that it has to be before Chatzos? Because the Torah couldn't say Tashbisu actively and fulfill its mitzvah after Chatzos, because already it's also L'kayim as HaChavitz after Chatzos. How do you have Chavitz in your possession at that point? Im kein mis yasheves kushas rabbi Zalman de kol zehu be'emes b'yom harishon. Again, Rabbi Akiva is going to try to prove to us and convince us that yom harishon does not mean tesvav, because ein b'yirchav etzel sreifu ein sreifu b'yontiv, but rather it means yudalit. To be yom harishon, when the Torah says quote unquote yom harishon, it means yudalit. In the Hava, meaning Rabbi Akiva says maybe it means literally tesvav. Right, Yom HaRishon Shel Pesach Im Kain. If that would mean that on Tesvav the mitzvah Tashbisu applies, we'd have to split the day of Tashbisu into two parts. The Kiyum Essay would be in the morning, right before Shas Yisur, and the Shas Yisur generates the Yisur Essay. Im Kain Bal Kochav Gam Zman Maisan Mitzvah B'Tesvav B'Shas Yisuro. Right? Because you'd have to say, I don't know what he means by b'shasi, so I would say kodem zvani. So wait, let me just read the next. V'im kein lefise gam mitzvah sehi b'tesvav. Right, the Isra say is on tesvav in the Havamina, because that's how we interpret literally b'yom harishon. And now the kiyum essay would have to be also on tesvav, because it says b'yom harishon tashbisu. And how can you possibly say that he'll destroy the chametz? This was Rabbi Salman's question. He'll destroy the chametz actively and fulfill his mitzvah on Yudalid, so that it'll be mushbas me'elav. Here he's quoting the Ramban's language, b'tesvav, when the Torah says b'yom harishon. And we're identifying now in the Havamina b'yom harishon meets tesvav. Ein kim tashbisu chaygavna b'shevi altas aval kof desman abir hu b'tesvav dafka. Because if you're going to tell me that the mitzvah of Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu could be fulfilled on Yudalid, that would mean a passive mitzvah, because Bayom HaRishon now, when the clock strikes 12, Chatzos HaYom, I'm in a passive situation. There's no such thing as a passive Kiyumah mitzvah. That's not what the Ramban had in mind. Is therefore, Rabbi Akiva has a beautiful proof. If it means that the active mitzvah has to be B'yom HaRishon, because B'yom HaRishon is interpreted literally as Tesvav, then you're violating the Melechah Savara. V'nireh shezo gam remez haran b'chidushav. Oh, now Rav Salvech wants to read this into the Ran. The Ran's language is Ela imke nitchok v'nomar dechi darshinon ach Hainu lomar she mushbas kvar michatzos ulamala. So it's very similar to the Ramban that Achilek tells me it should be mushbas michatzos ulamala. Kavanos l'divrei Ramban kvo she nisparad ha me'adrosh le'achilek yalfinu b'chol yom yudalid havizman l'maisa mitzvot shel tashbisu. He's being medayik from the language of the Ran. The Ran says that although the entire day of Yudalid is dedicated to the mitzvah of Tashbisu, but nevertheless the drosh of Achilek is talking about Mushbas V'Yomed, and Mushbas V'Yomed is the element of Iser Aseh, and that's from Chatzos and on. Now, the balance of this essay is dedicated to answer up all the questions of Reb Chaim. In other words, in a sense we're going to defend Reb Chaim, and we're going to therefore gain all the benefits of Reb Chaim, meaning we're going to answer up the kashas from Lavani Tekliese, and why Efer Chometz according to the Torah is Asur, and it's not Nisrofim but rather Nikborim. All that we're going to gain from Reb Chaim, and at the same time, although we're going to accept Reb Chaim that Tashbisu generates an Isra Aseh of holding on to Chometz, we also will gain the Rambam, that the Rambam has Tashbisu as a complex mitzvah, and there's also an element of Kiyum V'Eseh of destroying the Chametz. Sam? So what I'd like to do now, Bershuschem, because I'm very excited, as I told you at the outset, about the mitzvah Sipri Yitzis Mitzrayim in the Seder Aruch, is I would like to take a break here, and we'll finish this essay, B'li Nedu, tomorrow, and we'll see how we can gain, on the one hand, all of Reb Chaim's answers to the kashas on the Rambam, but at the same time insist that all the diyukim that we had to prove that Tashbisu is a mitzvah seh are all still correct. And that's an important challenge. You know, it's like getting a man to land on the moon, and hopefully we'll succeed. So just to summarize what we said in one sentence is that there are two dimensions that mitzvah aseh tashbisu is a compound, hybrid, complex mitzvah. It has both a kiyum esseh and an iser esseh as well. What we're looking at here in the Seder Arch is page Shin Samach Aleph. And this is Perek Samach Beis, which is dedicated to Zman, Mitzvahs, Sipur, Yitzias, Mitzrayim. Now I'm hoping at the same time, with regard to Sipur, Yitzias, Mitzrayim, you have also this article, page 37, which we gave out. Now, if you recall, in the section of the Agoda called the Arba Bonim, the response to the very sophisticated and lomdish question of the Chacham, Ma Eidus Vachukim Amishpatim, he divides up the mitzvahs into the different categories. Our response is Afatam Rolo Kilchas HaPesach Ein Maftirin Achar Pesach Afikoma. Now there are two girsos, two nuschos in the Haggadah, and one of the nuschos has ad, adds the word ad, and this is the girsa of the Vilna Gaon.
Is this an afata merlo?
Correct, afata merlo kilchas pesach ad ein maftirin. Now what's the ad ein maftirin? So the Gaon points out that the very last Mishnah in Masechta Pesachim is Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikoma. And the Gaon says that if you validate the Girsa of Ad, what we're really saying here is that we learn the entire Masechta Pesachim with the child. I don't mean that we have to start from Orli Arbas and go through the end, but it means that the entire corpus of Hilchas Pesach is included in our response to the Ben HaChacham. Again, maybe every Pesach we should highlight different dinim. I don't know if you can cover all of Hilchos Pesach on one Laila, but the Ad tells you to cover the entire gamut, a very comprehensive study of Hilchos HaPesach, until you get to the last Mishnah of Ein Maftirin. Now let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Pesach. In Siman Tov Pei Aleph, he writes, Chayev Adam Lasok B'Hilchas HaPesach. On this night, we dedicate ourselves to the study of the laws of Pesach. Ad Shetechavtenu Shena. In other words, until he can't stand on 2 feet, he falls asleep. And this is based on the Tosefta in the last parak of Pesachim. Now the Tosefta never really clarifies what is the source for this halacha of Chayev Adam Lasok B'Hilchos HaPesach. I mean, the Torah does say V'Gadat L'Bincha, but that seems to be an answer to his question about the Eidus V'Chukim Mishpatim. You know, tell him Avodim Ayinu L'Far Mitzrayim, tell him whatever you want to do about the Shtal Shlus HaDvarim and the Siva and the Goreim and everything else. But where does it say that we should be learning Hilchos HaPesach with this young man in order to fulfill the mitzvah of V'Gadat L'Bincha? The Tosefta quotes absolutely no source. However, if you look at Parshas Bechukosai in the Sifra, which is the same as the Sifri on other Chumashim, but in Vayikra it's called the Sifra, the Toras Kohanim, it says the following. Zochar es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Okay, we're going to look at the Rashmi Shantz. He has the final word on the Sifra. He wrote a super commentary, one of the Balei HaTosfos, on the Sifra. Ha'mani Mekayim Zohar. Now, if you and I were asked the question, how do we fulfill the mitzvah of Zohar? We would give probably one of two answers. These are the rest of the week. This Beis Shammai's famous answer, you know, whenever you get something good, you have a good piece of steak, you know, well, I know about steak, but maybe chicken, you know, you put it away for Shabbos. Or if you accept the Shita of Beis Hillel, then Zohar might mean that on the Leil of Shabbos you should recite Kiddush. But if you take a look in the Rashmi Shans, the Sifra says Shetehei Shone Beficha. Now, what does the word Shone mean?
Learned.
Correct. In Chazal it means to study. It doesn't mean just to recite something. Like, for example, if you were to recite Kiddush on Leil HaShabbos and claim that that's my mitzvah of Zochres Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, the Sifra would get up and object to that, because it's very nice that you recite Kiddush, but that's not Shoneh B'Ficha. You have to study something. The Sifra goes on to say that there's a mitzvah of Zechiras Maisa Molech, there's a mitzvah of Zechiras Maisa Miriam, of Zechiras Amolech, and again the Tosef, the Sifra, applies the principle of Shetei Shona B'Ficha. That Zechira equals Shetei Shona B'Ficha. Says the Rashmi Shans, what does it mean Shetei Shona B'Ficha? Says he adds one word, Ha'alachos. That you should be learning halacha. So whenever the Torah says zohar, that's a password. It's a secret code for learning halacha. For those who enjoy learning halacha, it's a fascinating chiddush. That, you know, we have six times the Torah over and over again says zohar, and according to Rashi Shatz's interpretation of Zifra, the word zohar means to learn the halachas. How do we fulfill that? So it says zohar es yom haShabbos l'kadsho. What halachas are we going to learn to fulfill that? Hilchos Shabbos. When it comes to Zechiras Maisa Molech, what halachas? I wanted to learn the halachas of Maisa Molech. What halachas? Is there a Shulchan Aruch called Hilchos Maisa Molech? I'm sorry, Hilchos Maisa Egel, Zochras Egel. And the answer is, we're going to have to learn Hilchos Avodah Zarah. I don't know how many of you learned Daf Yomi, but if you learned Daf Yomi Masech Avodah Zarah, you should realize that that's a cue of Zechiras Maisa Egel. Then we have a mitzvah of Zechiras Miriam. So what halachas, you know, again, Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Zechiras Miriam, is we're going to have to learn Hilchos Negoyim, because the Torah says that, Gemara Nerachin says that the chait of Lashon Hara is going to generate Negoyim. Then we get to Zechiras Amalek. What did he say?
You wouldn't learn Lashon Hara.
I don't know why. I don't know why the Rashi Shan says you have to learn Hilchos Negoyim. Maybe the Rashi Shan thinks that since Miriam had a nega, right, she had saras, therefore it makes more sense to learn the halachas of Negoyim.
Remember what God did to Miriam. It doesn't say
correct.
Why.
Correct.
Remember what he did Negoyim.
Right. Right. Maybe in the case of Maisekel, that was a Maisa Avodah Zarah, so we learn Hilchos Avodah Zarah. In the case of Shabbos, we have to learn the laws of Shabbos. That's what it means to remember Shabbos. In the case of Amolek, it's a bit of a stretch. We have to learn Hilchos Megillah. Again, I didn't write the text, so you could write a letter to the Rashmi Shans. I mean, he's gone about 1,200 years, but 1,100 years, but you'll write a letter to him. And then the Rashmi Shans writes, Umeelu Nilmad Lacherim. Because notice that he only mentions four cases out of the six. Am I right? Let's go over them. Shabbos, Avodah Zarah, Negoyim, and Megillah. Now, we have a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So how do we fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? Again, according to the Rashmi Shans, that Zechira equals Shona Halachas B'Fich, which means to learn the relevant halachas. So what are the relevant halachas to Yetzias Mitzrayim? And the answer is Hilchos HaPesach. Now, if you ask me, I would say Hilchos HaPesach is all-inclusive. It might mean Bedikas Chametz, and Tashbisu, and Iser Chametz, and Tarovis Chametz, and Korban Pesach. I mean, there's a welt of halachas in Hilchos Pesach. Now, you might ask me, okay, fine, the Torah says Zohar, Zohar with regard to Yetzias Mitzrayim, but that's not the mitzvah that we're dealing with. We want to know about the mitzvah on Leil HaPesach, on Tesvav. The mitzvah of Zohar is the whole year round. But here we want to introduce the Rambam, because the Rambam has a very strange analogy when he opens up the laws of Sipritis Mitzrayim between the mitzvah of Zohar as Hayom HaShem Yetzasim Mitzrayim and the mitzvah of Zohar as Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. And the Rambam derives at least one conclusion that we know of, that just like the mitzvah of Zochas Yom HaShabbos Kacho is on Leil Shabbos, so too the mitzvah of Zochas Yom HaZesh Yitzos Shabbos is on Leil Tesvav, the night of Yitzis Mitzrayim. But maybe we could take this one step further based on the Rambam's analogy, and we could say that the mitzvah of Zohar sheds a light on Sipri Yitzis Mitzrayim. Again, the Rambam wants to establish based on Zohar that there's a mitzvah of Sipri Yitzis Mitzrayim on Leil Tesvav. So we have two psukim in the Torah. We have a mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim, right? I forget the Nusach HaPosuk. No, that's not the Posuk I'm referring to. What's the other Posuk? For Zechirus Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ben Doma, Ben Zoma, what does it say? And then we have another pasuk that says, "Lamantiska." So I quote the pasuk, so I don't sound like a total ignoramus here. And the pasuk says, "It says Zochras Hayom Hazeh Shayotzasem Mimitzrayim." Okay, Zochras Hayom Hazeh. That's in Shmos Yud Gimel pasuk Gimel. If you can make a note of that, because I'm going to forget that, you gimel gimel, and then there's a pasuk in Ben Zoma that says Zochas Yom Hazeh Sheyatzasim Mitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayecha. That's Kol Yimei Chayecha is the general mitzvah the whole year round.
Ben Zoma is Laman
Tiska. I'm sorry, Laman Tiska. But where's that? It's not in Shmos Yud Gimel. I forget where it is now. So we'll look it up if you don't mind. That's why Talmid Chacham are afraid of Shabbos, because on Shabbos you can't look up anything online. So you don't have access to Bar Ilan. But right, it should be even here in these pages that I gave you, but whatever. Okay, whatever it is. Oh, so now we're focused on the Pasuk in Shmos Yud Gimel Pasuk Gimel that the Rambam quotes as the source for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Zochras Hayom Hazeh Sheyatzasem Mitzrayim. And if that's the source for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, then we have to activate the principle of the Sifra, that whenever it says Zohar, it means Shitei Shona Beficho, which the Rashi Shansmi said identifies as Limud Alochas, is hence learning Alochas of Pesach is a kiyum of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which according to the Rambam is derived from the pasuk Zohar Sayom Ezesha Yitzasim Mitzrayim. And if that be the case, we could begin to understand a very strange comment to the Shiboli Aleket. The Shiboli Aleket says, on the paragraph in the Haggadah, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah L'Yam Yisrael, that we start the Haggadah with Birchas HaTorah. Birchas HaTorah, I already recited Birchas HaTorah this morning on Yom Yudalit, before I destroyed my Chometz. So why am I reciting a Birchas HaTorah on the night of Tesvav? And the answer is because there are two mitzvahs of Limud Torah. There's a general mitzvah of Limud Torah that includes everything, including Hilchas HaPesach. But then there's a special unique mitzvah of Limud Halachas, of Hilchas HaPesach, not B'Torah's Talmud Torah, but B'Torah's Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But since it's an integral part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, to learn the Halachas of Pesach, therefore it deserves another set of brachas, of Birchas HaTorah. I mean, I don't know why it's not B'Shem U'Malchus, but it's a Birchas HaTorah. And this is the key of Zochras Hayom Hazeh Asher Yetzasim Mitzrayim, to learn the halachas of Pesach on Leil Tesvav. And to study those halachas, that's embarking on a new, unique mitzvah of Talmud Torah that is exclusively fulfilled and dedicated to Leil Tesvav because of the hekesh between Zohar and Zochras Yom HaShabbos Likach. Okay, we'll put this on the side. Mitzvahs asay l'sapir yitzis mayim b'leil tesvav b'nisim b'tchilas halayla. Okay, this is not the language of the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, but rather the language of the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs Kuf Nun Zayin. And the Rambam identifies this mitzvah as tchilas halayla. Why did the Rambam have to go out of his way to mention tchilas halayla? You may recall that we had a similar diuk in the Rambam in Hilchas Chometz U'Matzah with regard to the mitzvah of Bedikas Chometz, where the Rambam insists that the Bedikas Chometz has to be B'tchilas HaLayla. Did you remember that? Yeah. And it seemed like the Rambam had a special takana, in addition to the general takana of Bedikas Chometz, the Chacham established that mitzvah B'tchilas HaLayla. And then the Rambam goes on to say that therefore you're not allowed to start learning at the end of Yud Gimel, because you won't be mekayim the mitzvah of Bedikas Chometz B'tchilas HaLayla. But here too, in the case of Tesvav B'Nisan and the mitzvah of Sipur, the Rambam emphasizes Tchilas HaLayla. Why is that? And the Rambam goes on to say the following. L'fi sheyesh l'kayim mitzvahs v'igadatul abincha b'shosh... No, this is not the Rambam. Sorry, this can't be the Rambam. L'fi sheyesh l'kayim mitzvahs v'igadatul abincha b'shosh ha'na'orim ni'orim. Okay. So let's try to understand this. This is a comment of the Maram Shik, and the Maram Shik claims that the reason why we want to start the Haggadah as early as possible, and that's what the Ram means by B'tchilas HaLaila, is in order to facilitate the mitzvah of Higadah to Levincha, and we have also some takonis to make sure that the children don't fall asleep. And one of them is encoded in the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot when he says B'tchilas HaLaila, because if you wait and you wait, then the children fall asleep. So Rambosa, you know that there's certain halachic ideal requirements. When I say ideal, meaning if you want to really embellish the mitzvah in its perfect ideal way, that come in conflict with the mitzvahs, with the reality. This is one, I think, great example. Because you imagine if you have a Seder with many people attending the Seder, some of which are your family, others may be guests, and there's a ton of things that have to be taken care of. I'll give you one example, just one simple example, besides the regular mitzvah achnas arkum of seating arrangements, which applies the whole year round, but on Leil Pesach, the Rambam says that there has to be shtiyah reva olav, that the yayin for the dalet kosos, and we're starting Kiddush, right? Kadesh Urchat. So the first thing on the agenda is Kiddush. Is the Asa Reva that every single person has to drink what he enjoys drinking. So if you're a very fancy guy, you have a choice of 10 different wines, grape juices, whatever your minig is, sweet and dry and red and white and who knows what else, and this vintage and that vintage. And you want to ask every single person before he sits down at the Seder what you should pour for him for the Kos of Kiddush. Now you might say, well, why does he have to get a Kos of Kiddush? I'll make Kiddush for everybody, like I do every Friday night. Nein, here there's a mitzvah of Shtiyas HaKos, there are Cheres. So we have to guarantee that everyone has his own Kos. But what I'm trying to say is that in addition to all the pressures in the kitchen, right, because things are not necessarily 100% ready for the Seder, you know, everybody wants to get their Kara, and you know, you got this Morer and that Morer, and then this leaves and those leaves, and a host of other things, you know, the charos is not yet on the table. But on the other hand, here's the chumrah of the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs, B'tchilas HaLaila, which the Ram Shik says it's absolutely urgent to start as early as possible. That's why, again, you know, if I say this in my shul where I daven on Leil Pesach, they would completely lynch me. And that would be that the Chazonim should be absolutely curtailed on Leil HaPesach. And it's a very nice minig to recite Hallel in the shul. I'm all in favor of that. But to sing every single last paragraph of Hallel, Ala Rav Shlomo, which is wonderful.
You're making it later.
And it takes an hour till you get home. And this year it's going to be particularly late because, you know, the Ibrayar. Yeah, yeah. And now, again, I love Chazonis. But, you know, I dive in the shul where Chazonis is like the breath, it's like the you know, the oxygen of the whole shul. It's all built around Chazonis. It's absolutely against halacha, lefi ani zdaita.
Daven early.
Maybe they should daven early. And you know, Tosefes Yontif is a big mitzvah. Who's going to daven early on Leil Pesach? Sam, you and I. That's about it. You can try to find another eight Jews, you know. Yeah? Wow, I'm impressed. It's absolutely oisgahal. I'm very impressed. Kol hakavod. Is there an extra apartment there for sale?
You can stay with us.
I think we looked over there for an apartment. They were offering one apartment that was facing a wall, I think, or something. You know, there was no air or anything. You know, the Kavlan tried to sell us and whatever. But all I'm trying to say is that there's a din of Tchilas HaLaila. So again, according to the Ram Shik, the Tchilas HaLaila is because of the children. Rabbo said that's not what the Ram has in mind. The Ram Tchilas HaLaila means lafuke, that you shouldn't start too early. Not that he means you shouldn't start too late, the way the Ram Shik understood it. And that's what we'll see here in the second paragraph, which is based on the Trumas HaDeshen, and that is that the mitzvah HaLaila cannot be begun when it's too early. The first mitzvah of the night is Kiddush, which is the first of the Dalet Kosos. And we have a hekesh between Pesach and Matzah, and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Bavur Zeh, that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim cannot begin before nightfall, just like you can't eat the Pesach before nightfall, Balayla Hazeh, it says in the Pasuk. He says, K'shem she'eno dem yotzei yidei chovosa b'achilus matzu mora ele mishetech shach v'yein tosefes yontif mo'ilo lahaktim zman achilosam. And he claims that there's an entire chapter dedicated to this, which is Ayin Ches. So we have to make a note of that, because maybe that should be the next thing on our agenda. Kach ein yotzin yedei mitzvah sipri tisusayim ela kishekvar laila mamish. And we discussed this at great length with the Nefesh HaRav, if you recall. B'shosh roi lechol matzu morar. And that's derived from the part from the Mechilta, which we quote in the Haggadah Yochem Ibod Yom. You might think that we could read the Haggadah before nightfall. Tamid Lomer Bavur Zeh. Now the Yochem Ibod Yom means after Tosefes Yantif. So Tosefes Yantif is a wonderful institution, but it's not going to help us for the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, because Lo Amarti El B'Shosh Matzu Moro Munochem Lefanecha, and Matzah depends upon Korban Pesach. Comes along the Chassam Sofer, which you'll see quoted here in the middle of footnote number 5, with a revolutionary idea, and he says the following: Rak ha'achilos shel ha'layla, da'inu Pesach matzu morar, tzrichos lios mishetechshach, aval ha'gadah yochol li'omro kodim shetechshach. Now what do we do with the Mechilta of Bavur Zeh? And certainly the way the Truma Sadeshin understood it, that the first of the four Kosos, which is the Kos of Kiddush, has to be after Laila, just like the Matzu Mara has to be before Laila, meaning the Drosh of the Mechilta is, Bavur Zeh, that the Mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim requires Matzu Mara. Apparently the Chassam Sofer holds that there's another interpretation of the Mechilta. The Mechilta Bavur Zeh means that the Matz has to be there. Is there a mitzvah of achilas matzah? Not necessarily so. The mitzvah of achilas matzah has to be postponed until Laila, but the matzah is there at the time of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim.
It's Menachem literally.
Menachem is literal.
He says, look. The other way around, you might say, if it's the chiyuv, that you don't even have to have a line there either, right? If it's figurative, you don't have to have a line there.
Correct.
It can't mean
absolutely.
Both. It can't mean both.
Absolutely. But you need what's called a Zman HaRoy L'Mitzvah Matzah. Right? The Chiyuv Matzah. And the Chiyuv Matzah is feasible, but you don't have to have the physical Matzah. But perhaps, I'm just suggesting, I don't have the Chassam Sofer in front of me, that he understood that Bavur Zeh is only in terms of the physical entity of Matzah. And this has to do with Rabbi Gamliel, if you remember, that you have to explain the Matzah. So you have to look at the Matzah. Bavur Zeh, the word Zeh always means point with a finger. And now explain the Matzah. That's Sipur. That can only be if you have the Matzah Munach Lefanecha, but it doesn't have to be at the time that the Mitzvah of Matzah applies. Again, I have to tell you, Rabbi Ossi, it's very antithetical to the way I was trained in Lomdus, but that's what the Chassam Sofer learns. Now, if that be the case,
probably
then Sam...
Probably not called,
you know. Oh, I would say it's not called Matzah. You know, it's like Matzah today. You could call it Matzah. But Sam, this would be good for the Quash. In other words, if your people are coming back early... I understand, but you don't have to spell that out for me, but I'm just saying that if you want to make the children happy, like the Maram Shik,
right,
and make sure they're awake, and you're talking about young children, Lu Yitzuyer, you know, us guys, maybe we're grandparents, so we don't know if our grandchildren are there or not, but whatever it is, if they're young children, to say that you want to fulfill this dictum of the Ram Shik, of Tchilas HaLaila, the way he understood the Rambam, then maybe you could start to say there when it's still light outside. If you rush through Ma'ariv, you know, with all, and Halel, and with all due respect, you cut out the Chazanis, and you've started, let's say, Miplag HaMincha, I don't know when, how early you can start Ma'ariv, that has to be taken under advisement. Maybe with Shki, I don't know. Then you come home, and according to Chassam Sofer, get right to it. Start with Kiddush. Just make sure the matzah is munach lefanav. fascinating. I mean, you just see how wide halacha is. I mean, something that's so ingrained in us, you know, from childhood, this Trumas Hadeshen. It's like, you know, if somebody would say to me, well, let's start to say before nightfall, I call him an apikaris, right? Terrible thing. And here the Sam Sofer has no problem with it. Just make sure the matzah is moving for Yosef, what do you want to say?
Yeah, but you wouldn't eat the matzah until...
Yeah. That nobody questions right. That. You know, so that
Magid would be.
But Magid doesn't depend upon Zman Achilas Matzah, it depends on the physical presence of the Matzah Befanecha, so that it's like, again, this is my interpretation, that you can point to the Matzah as part of the Sipur. And Kish, again, is part of the Mitzvah of Sipur, and it's the first of the four Kosos, and all that can be fulfilled as long as the Matzah is Munach Lefanecha. I just wonder, you know, I'm thinking out loud, since you mentioned Kiddush, should we be covering the matzah? We cover the matzah during Kiddush. According to some sofa, I don't know. It's a little bit stomach question, yeah, that just occurred to
me.
Right, literally, yeah, but it's coming, you know, I don't know. You know, in Tefillin Shel Rosh, there are posts who say that if you don't uncover your Tefillin Shel Rosh,
yeah, the reason we come with matzah is that it shouldn't, either because it shouldn't be b'shemes. But here, the matzah is an integral part. You're not b'shemming it.
And the opposite, it makes it possible.
Yeah.
So maybe I don't remember, the matzah should be exposed. Yeah. I don't want to change my argument. We'll have to ask the airline people. You know, they're here for mincha because they follow the Sam Sofer. I wonder if there's any chassid of airline or any other chassid of the Sam Sofer who actually exposes the matzah.
They've cut their ties.
Oh, really?
Even they have their limits.
No, I didn't know that. I was hoping they would tell me what the Sam Sofer would advocate. So I will say tomorrow we'll believe Ned to pick this up, because this is a fascinating chapter. There's so much here in this chapter.
It's good.
It's good. Yeah, thank you.